And now, stay tuned for Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, a fun, informative green talk radio show featuring guests from all over the country talking about how living green can be fun. Visit Mrs. Green's website at www.MrsGreenGoesMainstream.com for more information about her guests.
Hello, Tucson. Hello, world. Happy hot Saturday. I heard you, if you heard that weather report, a nice cool 107 today. It's August. What's up with that? But we're still going to have fun because living green is fun and we're inside. So that's all I need to know. I'm not going to be spending a lot of time outside today. We are going to get an update about the Solar Decathlon project. Matt was on in April. Matt Gindelsparger. Is that right? Did I say it, Matt?
Yes,
I did.
It is.
Gindelsparger. And I spelled it right and everything. I'm so proud of myself. He's the project manager for the U of A Solar Decathlon, and he'll be talking about the prestigious seed pod they'll be transporting to Washington. And I'm not kidding. I can't wait. I was over there Thursday night and Friday, and we'll hear about how the Solar Fusion Day went yesterday as well. As always, I want to give a big shout-out, thank you, warm appreciation to Chapman. We had a great interview with Neb Yonas last week about the cash for clunkers and what a positive impact it had for Chapman. It was good on so many levels, including for the sales force that work there. I mean, it's talk about a dry season. Well, they made a lot of sales, and I hope there's some celebrating going on over there at Chapman today at those showrooms. And another comment I have is I get great service at Chapman, and I don't think it's just because I'm Mrs. Green. Those people out there care, and they're responsive, and I hear a lot of good things about that. Okay. Before I go on, we have a caller today. Marion Hook from the Adobe Rose Inn is going to be joining us talking about her wonderful inn that's down by the university that's very green. I want to do a big thanks to the Green Times. I think we're blessed to have such a great publication in this town. And pick one up. It has good content. It talks about things all over the country, all over the world. And it's really good content, extremely well written. They have a lot of great writers working for them. And then don't forget about the HOCO Fest. Like I was calling it the HOHO Fest, but it's the Hotel Congress Fest. There's a solar music festival next weekend, the 3rd through the 6th. Bookman's is one of their sponsors. TEP is involved. Bookman's is really excited to be on. It's up on their website. And it'll be 3 days and nights of 40 local and national music acts, a record festival, family activities, all wrapped up in an ecologically friendly package and sponsored by the Hotel Congress. That's HOCO, not HOHO. Okay, so Bookman's TEP, great sponsors of Mrs. Green, and I'm happy that they're doing that. Okay, we are going to talk about the Solar Fusion event, but we'll wait until we get the big word from Matt, who was there till 6 o'clock last night and says he's tired. Marion, are you there? Can you hear me now?
I am here, Mrs. Green.
I am glad you are, and I really did have fun visiting your website again and really not knowing fully how green you were, but you are green.
We are green, and we are getting greener despite the ugly rumors out there that small business is not going green because it's too expensive. We have been quoted and picked up by Reuters by saying that's simply not true.
I love it, Marion.
In fact, if small business doesn't go green, it's going to be more expensive in the long run. Now, my grandma always used to mutter, penny wise, pound foolish, and I think there's a lot of that going on right now.
Right. Well, tell everybody what the Adobe Rose Inn is and where it is.
All right. The Adobe Rose Inn is a six-room bed and breakfast in central Tucson, two blocks south of Speedway and two blocks east of Campbell.
So right by the U of A.
Right by the U of A,
okay.
Within walking distance. In fact, we have the only parking spot for the football game that comes with breakfast.
I love it. Okay, there you go. People can stay overnight and then walk to the game. I like it.
And you can find bits and pieces of us all over the city, in the airport, in Tuma Cookery, in Tubac, at the Oro Valley Farmers Market, at the St. Phillips Farmers Market, at New, at the Botanical Gardens, at Whole Foods, because we manufacture our very own delicious scone mix.
I knew you were going to say that, and I should have had you come down to the studio because maybe you would have brought some.
You know, that can still happen. Just give me a call one of these days, and I'll be down there.
And I see Jim.
Your business wants us, we will deliver to your door.
Right, and you can get a sample if you go to the farmer's market on Sunday morning at St. Phillips.
Because yes,
I've gotten
you can.
I go disguised so that Jim doesn't recognize me, and I go up three times.
And you put glasses on once and big ears on the next time.
I do.
Okay.
He never knows it's me.
Okay,
but tell me, you have a lot of content on your website about what you're doing that's green, and it's very interesting. I had a conversation with a man from Channel 13, the TV show the other day, TV station, and it's shocking how many people really have environmental disease, and his wife does. I mean, there's so many people that have some form of hypoallergenic reaction to things that you've removed from your from the Adobe Rose.
And we see more and more. The first thing, and it's not on my website, that we did, thanks to Catherine Kent and the Solar Store, we had an evaluation of where we could go more green. And to me, that's important because as we plan for the future and we need to make capital investment, we want to do it wisely.
Right, right.
And we started off with small things. Our cleaning products are all non-toxic, non-irritating, hypoallergenic, no harsh smells. They're biodegradable. They come from plants. They're not tested on animals.
Right.
And that's important for people with allergies. And we go as far as we steam our floors to clean them as opposed to using some kind of chemical in water. First of all, they're cleaner and they've been sanitized. And for a half a cup of water, we're making it a more friendly place to be.
I love the whole thing about the is it Gilchrist and Soames? Is that how you say it?
Gilchrist and Soames.
Soaps and shampoos. Love that.
It's so cool. We just switched over to new amenities from Gilchrist and Soames, and it's called Be Kind.
I saw that. And it supports honeybee pollination,
right.
Which they're at risk, too.
They are.
They're at
huge eco-friendly
risk.
Packaging. You don't have a lot of plastic bottles. And 10% of what everybody pays for these soaps and shampoos goes to the University of California, Davis, where they are trying to sustain the pollination research.
And I've covered that like in my newsletter and on the show. I mean, I had no idea what it's really not good for our world, the risk to bees right now, because they do so much pollination of more than we ever even think about. We see them at the flowers, but they do a lot to keep all of the flora going. And I know that there are terrible, blights.
Well, think of our
food
supply. Yep. If we don't have bees out there pollinating, then we're not going to have food.
We're in a lot of trouble. I know. So this is really great. I never heard of this company. I'm going to look it up more when I, start getting ready to write my newsletter, and I'm thrilled to have you do that. Okay, and then you have things like this kind of cracked me up, I have to admit. You said the pool is chilly in the fall and winter months because you heat it by the sun. What a concept. Love that. I have to tell you, I do.
Well, we have some people who go, well, it's not heated, and we go, oh, that's right, and we tell them why. However, we do have one returning guest from Scotland and many Minnesotans.
Minnesotans? Love that.
They find nothing
Minnesota.
Wrong, and they're in the pool in February.
Right, right, right. And you use CFL light bulbs, right? And I mean, you recycle as much as you can.
We recycle everything we can, even some things that you can't recycle in the United States. For instance, we'd have a guest who would come in, take a shower, leave the next morning, and we would have soap and shampoo left over. The shelters here by law cannot take them. But I have a friend who has a charity down in the barrios of Rocky Point, and Mexico has no such laws, so she recycles all those things to people who really, really need them and can't afford them.
And you know what? I did this research a long time ago. There's really no such thing as dirty soap. If there's dirt on soap, it doesn't matter. I mean, so it should be able to be recycled, because even if you're little kids, when I had little kids, you wash their hands and there's still some dirt on the soap, it's still clean soap.
Yep.
Because that's of this in values. Okay, so we are going to have to go and say hello to Jim, and people can find you through my website. You can go to info@MrsGreenGoesMainstream and ask me, or if you quickly say your website, it's a great website and a beautiful location.
My website is A Rose Inn, A-R-O-S as in Sam, E-I-N as in Nancy, N as in Nancy.com.
Okay. Thanks so much, Marion, for taking time out of your day, and good luck, and thanks for being a small business owner here in Tucson.
We enjoy it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Take care. Okay, we have a quick break. Stay tuned. I'm waiting with bated breath here to talk to Matt, and he has his wonderful wife, Katie, who's also a friend of mine in the studio. We might make her say hello. Stay tuned. Hear about the U of A Solar Decathlon Project. Welcome back, everybody. This is Mrs. Green from Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790 KNST. Thanks for tuning in. We have hot topic around Tucson today, no pun intended. But yesterday, I announced last week that there was a solar fusion event at the University of Arizona. Matt is going to tell us about that. He's the project manager for the Seed Pod, which is really, it's a prestigious honor to me that you are selected to be in it, Matt. So tell people who didn't listen in May what it is and how did you get involved? How did you get selected? Because you couldn't just apply.
Sure, and thanks for having me on again. What we're doing is building a small energy efficient dwelling for the 2009 U.S. Department of Energy Solar Decathlon. The U of A was one of the lucky teams that was selected. It was kind of a pretty rigorous proposal process. We kind of stated our intentions, stated our ideas, laid out how we were going to accomplish our goals. And the Department of Energy selects 20 teams of the applicant pool to each kind of do what we're doing. And in October of this year, all those houses get assembled on the National Mall in Washington, D.C., where they're open to the public, and then they're on display, and they're evaluated for their performance.
I want to go.
Did you
hear that whiny voice? I want to go. You're going, right?
Yeah, I'm going to be there the entire time from the second the trucks leave campus here until the second they come back.
So when do they leave here?
We load the trucks up on September 24th, and they're in transit for about a week getting to Washington, D.C., and then on October 1st, we're given access to the mall, and we've got about 5 days to assemble under kind of assisted power generators, things like that, and then another 2 days to finalize assembly, and by that time we have to be under our own power.
So in the design and construction, I mean, it's blowing my mind. The visual here is that you have to build this, and it has to be everything. I want to talk about more of the components, about the energy efficiency component in every single detail. You had to make it so that it could be disassembled and go on three trucks and then go back. Is that right?
Yeah.
And then put it back together again?
Yeah, that's been one of the trickiest and most driving kind of design elements of this thing.
I really can't even imagine. So, Nate, talk about some of the like when I saw it, all I could think about is, and I made this joke last time, where would I put my shoes? I mean, there's not room for a lot of extra shoes in this building.
Yep. It's a small space. It's a little under 750 square feet livable area. And that's you look around Tucson, and there's a lot of homes that are that size. It's a lot of people go for something a little bigger, but two people can comfortably live in a space that size. We've done a lot of research and design and to really kind of optimize every single square inch of space.
And you did.
There are places to put your shoes, and there are places to hide away the things that you don't want people to see and that kind of stuff.
But it sounds so awful, and you're right. I mean, when you travel anywhere, like we went to Hong Kong once, and there are spaces a little bit bigger than that where five people live. So we're pretty spoiled in this country, and it's one of the issues about sustainability that we have to look at. Everybody does not need a 3,000-square-foot house for four people. I mean, you're right. It would take some getting used to on my part. I have to admit that. Okay. So tell us about some of the components of it, how it's heated, what about the water, some unique space-saving features. Just give us some, build a visual for us.
Sure. The entire house is built as modular units to be assembled and disassembled. And some of the really interesting kind of innovative research areas that we've kind of been working on are along the south wall, where we've got a wall that's made out of formed plastic, and those plastic tanks are filled with water, and that water is used as a thermal mass, thermal storage device. So sunlight energy that comes in and gets collected throughout the day gets saved and stored and utilized at nighttime for heating in the wintertime, and then you can kind of flip the cycle around and use it for cooling in the summertime.
Right.
The entire roof is covered in photovoltaic, so we're producing a lot of power for the house, and a lot of interesting and innovative kind of assembly ideas to optimize the performance of solar panels. Panels are very expensive, and that energy generation, it's not quite at a price point where everybody can jump onto it. So we're kind of making an attempt to optimize and get as much power output out of these things as possible.
Well, it was interesting that you bring that up, because I do want to hear, we can go all over the map. I'll bring us back. I swear I'll bring us on back. Okay. So the article in the paper today, the panel yesterday, you said it was really a great turnout, correct?
Yeah, the turnout for the Solar Fusion event was huge. AZ Rise did an amazing job promoting it and organizing it.
They really did.
The panel sessions, the poster sessions were all very well attended, although I didn't get to see any of them because I was taking people through the house. The house was full all day long. Even before the event started, people were poking around, and we kind of had to shove a few people off and, you know, we're not quite ready. You know, and then a number of other people kind of came out and stood out in the sun with us. We had a piece of sculpture that was popping popcorn with the sun all day. Some vendors making food with solar power. There was a solar powered rock band or a band that was playing. So really a fantastic turnout. It was really exciting to see.
And
everybody.
I love it when the community supports things like this. I mean, when we talked about it yesterday, last Saturday on the radio, on the show, people called in to ask questions about it and where it was and get details, and we got some emails about it. But one of the things that Dean Portney said is that he was, and I love that he was so honest, solar is still sometimes 2 to 3 to 4 times more expensive than fossil fuel. Okay, so we've got a big challenge. Is there, to me, a connection between what you're doing in terms of looking at the future and developing things that will be less cost effective, and then the innovative creative technology to bring the cost down? Because that's one of the biggest barriers to solar. And I was glad that he said it, because mm-hmm. that's the truth. It's very expensive.
Most definitely. We can apply these principles that we're kind of adopting and utilizing with the current solar technology that is a little bit cost prohibitive for a lot of people. We can apply those same principles to kind of any kind of iteration of power generation. And it's not just about power generation. It's not just about photovoltaics. It's about proper orientation, utilizing those exterior forces, utilizing
right.
sun, utilizing wind, utilizing light, utilizing all those components to really kind of aid in providing that homeostatic condition within the house that everybody looks for.
Right. One of the things that shocked me in my journey as Mrs. Green is that it's not, you would think Arizona is one of the prime states for solar, which it isn't necessarily true at all, because the intensity of the heat, and to me, what my answer is, the technology for capturing and storing the sun's energy has not advanced to the point where it will be maximized in a state like Arizona. I read somewhere several times that New Jersey is really a prime location, and I'm from New Jersey, so don't say anything mean, about storage for mm-hmm. solar, and because it's the way that it captures the sun and it's not beating down all day. So the technology hasn't caught up with the sun yet. Is that fair to say?
That's fair to say. And that's a lot of what this Solar Fusion event was about yesterday. It's not only about showing the house off. It's about current research and technology at the university in the state of Arizona. And that issue of storage is one of those things that is really kind of a hot topic. Things like compressed air energy storage,
Now tell me what compressed air energy storage is.
I'm certainly not an expert on this. I might twist it up a little bit.
That's okay. No, I will never know.
So the basic principle is that during the day, you use photovoltaic collectors to
right.
drive an electric motor. That electric motor then drives a piston that creates basically or puts compressed air into some sort of storage vessel. And then at nighttime when the sun's gone down, the process kind of switches over, and that compressed air is used to drive a motor to make electricity.
Right, right. Okay, well, we're going to go to a short break, but when we come back, I'd really like you to talk to us about who was on the team, who is on the team, who's going to D.C., and the kind of I work as challenges, like
great.
The obstacles to getting us to Washington, D.C., okay? You're listening to Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream. We have Matt Gindelsparger on from the University of Arizona, project manager. We'll be right back. Do not touch that button. We want to hear more. Welcome back, everybody. This is Mrs. Green from Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream News Talk 790. We're hearing the latest update about the solar decathlon project. That is how much completed, Matt?
You know, we got this thing presentable and showable for the purposes of the solar fusion event, but we've still got quite a ways to go. We're going to be busy, busy, busy for the next 3 weeks.
Lots of pound of nails. And probably not nails.
No, there aren't very many nails in this thing.
No, that would not be very I couldn't even see that because then you'd have to take it apart and blah, 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 blah. Okay. I want to talk about the green tip. I forgot to do that because I am so excited about what's going on. But here it is. Beat the heat. Instead of slaving over a hot stove, this is a really good time to make salads for dinner. There's still a lot of vegetables in season at the farmer's market. Instead of turning on the stove, you're saving energy, you're eating good things. Of course, try to buy organic whenever possible. And if you think about it, organic tomatoes might be a little bit more expensive, but if you have that for dinner with some organic lettuce and some free-range chicken, it's a meal, and it's less expensive. If I was back in Jersey, speaking of Jersey, I'd be having corn on the cob every night. And, of course, I would take the water and throw it in my garden, you know what I mean? So I think we have a caller, which is great. Tom, are you on the air?
Yeah, hello, guys.
Hi, thanks for calling in. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, hey, Matt, I wanted to make a comment. I think a lot of people are getting hooked on the solar energy as photovoltaic conversion and that neat technology, which is probably on the cusp of a new technology breakthrough. They're going to be printing all the photovoltaic cells in the next 4 years instead of doping them,
wow,
which is very expensive. My question for you, have you guys heard much or are you up to speed on these companies that are growing algae in these huge ponds, which is just, you know, solar energy in a sense, and then the algae is a special algae they can convert to a biofuel. And I just thought that was a really neat way to go because biofuel can be stored in a tank where sunlight can't.
Yeah, that's something that we've kind of come across it in a number of different kind of research areas and bits of information here and there. And I think some of that algae-based biofuel technology is a pretty interesting way to go as a kind of energy source.
It absolutely and positively blows me away. Tom, that's a great question.
And I just have a quick follow-up.
Oh, go ahead.
If I could, please. One of the reasons that it really disappoints me that our two senators that are senior senators and known nationally, you know, McCain and Kyle, I don't know why they haven't beat a couple $1 billion out of this administration for us to play around a little more seriously with solar energy. I think if maybe McCain and Kyle would spend less time on the national spotlight and spend more time on the local spotlight, we'd be better off. Thank you.
Thanks for calling in. That was really a great question. I want to know what it means about printing versus whatever he said. So you have to explain that to me.
Sure. Photovoltaics are the way that they're kind of produced and manufactured.
Right.
They vary depending on you know what kind of panels they're producing. We're using basically wafer technology where we're taking solar cells that are kind of laminated between two pieces of glass. Now the technology is out there where it's literally not too dissimilar from what comes out of an inkjet printer. They're just kind of going down and printing on whatever, almost any substrate. You know, you can make flexible thin film type of photovoltaics, print on clothing, things like that.
So much cheaper. Oh my God, that's unbelievable. Oh my goodness. Okay. When you're talking, I'm sitting here thinking of all of the pieces that you guys have to have to make this house. I mean, it starts blowing me away. You're thinking about, is there a washer and dryer in the house?
Yeah, the house is fully furnished.
No
appliances
way.
Everywhere.
Okay. And yeah. I was in there, and I don't remember seeing the washer and dryer. It was
it's
probably the size
yet.
Of a shoebox.
It's not in there yet.
Okay. You do very little loads of wash because you only have a little amount of clothing in this house.
Well, one of the competitions one of the kind of evaluation criteria for the competition is a dishwashing, or there is dishwashing, but also laundry. You have
dishwasher?
To Yeah, there's a dishwasher. It's right underneath the sink, actually.
Good. That's really good. Okay, that's really good. Dishwasher is good. All right, probably for those small dishes. Okay, now one of the things is the how do you expect this to impact the global population? In your vision for what this is, it's not just about a show on the wall in Washington. I would expect that people will be coming from all over the world to look at the technologies, mm-hmm. to learn from it. Do you, in your vision and all the hard work you've done, vision a global impact from what you've created here at the U of A?
Most definitely. I think one of the really exciting things about this competition is it really does spark interest in innovation from all over the world. It is a worldwide competition. And so this event in Washington, D.C. is really going to be about showcasing current and cutting-edge solar technology, current research that's happening as it applies to a residential scale. Now, all of that certainly isn't going to be 100% attainable because it is this kind of research-based type of project. But like I said before, a lot of those principles are very applicable to current technology and current kind of within the grasp of residential construction.
Why do you think this is totally and off the, out of the, not even germane to what we're talking about? Why is it that the United States is so far behind so many European countries in the solar application? I mean, Germany, Spain, they've been doing it before I even know that solar panels could happen on the top of my roof.
Sure, sure.
Why are they so much farther ahead?
I think it's their kind of eye on the global scale of and reliance on things like fossil fuels. They've had a constant eye on that, and it might just be because they're not producing nearly as much as we are. It's easy for us to attain, easiest to keep track of, and easy for us to rely on. Where European countries, they don't have that same luxury. You go there, and gas is so much more expensive.
I know.
So obviously they're going to be looking at different ways of kind of attaining these things.
Right.
Germany is one of the highest solar producing nations in the world. And they, they don't have nearly the sunlight that we do. It's absolutely crazy.
A lot of gray days over there. Mm-hmm. I lived there for 2 years and a lot of days without sunlight. I can tell you that right now, but I know it must see through because it's really scary. They're doing a lot with green roofs too.
Yeah.
What's the roof going to be like? Is it all solar panels on the roof?
Yeah, we're really interested in experimenting with the idea of building integrated photovoltaics and using our solar panels as our roof assembly. In that, we are putting a rather expensive roof on our house, but we're really interested in how we kind of use that as an element to produce energy. Otherwise, it's going to collect that energy anyway in the form of heat. And if you don't do something with that heat, it comes through your house and affects you and your interior environment. So we're going to use that to generate electricity. We're going to use that to kind of buffer and mitigate that heat that would otherwise be coming through the house.
Okay, so when I think of an architect, I think of the person that draws the plans.
Mm-hmm.
They just draw the plans, and then everything goes to the contractor. You guys drew up the plans. You're the subs. Am I right?
We're the subs. We're the generals. We're the
cleanup crew. The janitor.
the bookkeeper. Sweat the marketer.
Equity.
Everything.
Oh my gosh. Now you said off air that you've gotten tremendous help and are very grateful for this organization called, what is it called? One Stop.
It's the Pima County One Stop.
Pima County One Stop. Yep. What is that? I never heard of it.
They worked with us to provide us with a workforce, a labor force of people that have recently been displaced in their jobs in this current economic condition. And they're all skilled laborers. They're electrician, plumber, welders, fabricators, carpenters, things like that. And they're otherwise just kind of out of a job looking for something. The One Stop is kind of a resource for them to go to get information, to do kind of resume building, things like that. They helped to write a grant to provide our team with 10 people for about 12 weeks.
You are kidding.
So
I love it.
We've had this great, great labor force working with us alongside student labor. It's been about 50-50 in terms of the numbers. What these workers get is kind of new training, on-site training for solar technology, modular prefabricated building, and then also kind of green and sustainable building technologies. And what they're able to instill and work with the students on is exactly how to build things. Like you said, these students are primarily architecture students, so they've never built anything other than little models and things like that. So you take them downstairs, take them down to the shops, and get them building things, and it's a foreign land for them. So getting this kind of back and forth relationship with these workers has been fantastic for everybody.
And I'll bet you for the students, it'll create a level of awareness of what it takes to implement whatever plans mm-hmm. they draw up to see what it's like, the implementation of the dream.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be unbelievably eye-opening, I think, for them.
Most definitely. They, you know, these students, a lot of them are going to be graduating at the end of this year. And so as students of architecture, they've got a huge leg up on your traditional architecture student.
Because of the experience they're getting?
Because of the experience in this project. You know, they've gone from designing as an architect and designing beyond the level that you would traditionally do in architecture school, getting down into very, very fine detail. And then they have to bring it back up in full scale.
I don't know. Chad was on with us last time. Mm-hmm. He was so cute. I mean, he was just so passionate and excited and energetic. Is he still working hands-on on the project?
He's still working hands-on, and he himself has gone under quite a transformation in terms of, you know, when we started construction, which was after we were last on the air, we started building this thing on June 8th, and he kind of comes out of this thing with something brand new. He has been one of the kind of leaders and experts on our exterior skin system. He had the fortunate opportunity to go and watch and actually do the fabrication of our metal wall panels at a shop up in Phoenix. They brought him in there. They taught him how to use the machines. He brought it back, and now
awesome.
He's installing it.
Oh, my gosh. That's really great. And before I forget, and I will remember this, I promise, you have to remember, too, you've got to call into the show once you get there and keep us up to date what's going on.
Definitely.
Who will judge the competition? People from all over the world?
Yeah, they're professionals in whatever kind of area that they're judging. There's energy and energy kind of performance contest. There's cooking competition, washing, kind of house, putting a house under load type things, washing and drying your laundry, dishwasher. There's a movie night. So there's a lighting competition, engineering competition, and they're just professionals from all over the world.
Matt, you have to tell me what washing machine and dryer is going to fit in that space. You have to tell me, even for an apartment dweller, it's like,
yep.
It's got to be teeny, tiny, tiny. Yeah, do you know what you're going to use yet?
Yeah, these are actually kind of off-the-shelf residential units. It's just a stackable washer and dryer.
Okay.
That's pretty low profile. It's definitely not something that you're going to have if your family is five or six people big.
Right, right.
But for two people, it's more than adequate.
I mean, I love it. I can't wait. I've got to come see it before it goes out on the road, all right? So we are going to take a short break. We're talking with Matt Gindelsparger from the U of A. He's the project manager for the Solar Decathlon project, leaving in less than a month.
That's right.
We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. This is Mrs. Green from Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream News Talk 790. If you have any questions whatsoever about the solar decathlon, please call us at 880-5678-520, area code 880. Tom called in. If you have any other questions, that led to a great conversation both on and off air. So here we are, Matt Gindelsparger. I want to know, are there people coming from other places than, like, the continental United States and Canada to compete in this? Because I thought it was international.
Yeah, it is an international competition.
How are they going to get their parts there?
There are teams from North America, United States primarily, a few from Canada. But then we also have a team from Darmstadt, Germany, Madrid, Spain, Puerto Rico is coming. And the recent word is that I can't verify this at all, but I've been told that Germany's house is already shipped and on the water somewhere.
It's just figures.
So, yeah, you know, it's they won it in 2007, actually.
Boat.
Yeah, exactly.
It's coming by boat.
You know, we've got our own logistical hurdles to come across. In fact, I had a conversation with a team from Canada a few weeks ago, and they were asking a little bit about transportation and things like that. And sounds like we were kind of on parallel tracks, but one of the constraints that they had is the number of trucks that they could put through the border. For this particular project. So that was yet another kind of constraint.
Why?
For them to deal with.
Do you have any
I'm not
idea?
Exactly sure. Custom something or other, but they could only, I think they could only have
something.
Like three trucks cross over in a period of time for one particular thing. It was,
okay.
It was a little bizarre.
Okay, yeah, it is a little bit bizarre, but everything has changed. Our world has changed with all borders. No kidding.
That's right.
Okay, so I think we have a caller, but I want to know, has there been any other like cross-collaboration with teams, or is it so highly competitive that you don't really talk to each other like it's double secret probation? You can't tell anybody what you're doing, and don't you come over here, you spy?
You know, I think for the most part, everybody's pretty busy with what they're doing on their own. But, You know, every team has a website, and you can access through that through the main Solar Decathlon website, solardecathlon.org. But then, you know, there, we've had a few kind of conversations with teams back and forth. Our neighbors, actually, that are going to be on the mall, we've been working with them a little bit to maybe share crane service for assembly and disassembly while we're on site.
Now, when you say on the mall, I love D.C., mm-hmm. where is it going to be? Like, literally, I'm still thinking maybe I can come there.
It's really going to be. Yeah, we're going to be set up on the National Mall, right in front of the Smithsonian,
in
the middle.
Yeah, and what if it rains and snows?
Well, then it rains and snows.
It's a house. That's what
you
happens. It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
I know. Well, we have a question from Marshall, and Josh will get to that in a minute. Marshall, stay on the line. It's a solar question. Can you hear me now? I know. Josh has had – he's got board work today up the wazoo. Okay. Marshall's there. Can we hear me now? Can we hear him now? No. Okay. All right. Let's just keep going. We'll go. What do you think the chances of winning are? Any clue?
I don't know. I'm really excited. I'm just excited to get around every other house. I really want to see what they're doing, what they're working on. I want to see how they're going to put these things together, what their process is. We're really excited to just be a part of the project.
How many people are going with you in the team?
Probably in total, I'm going to have about 20 people kind of around to help assemble, disassemble, and then run the show during the competition.
For the whole time?
I think at any given time there will be 20 people around. That's not to say there's probably going to be 10 or 15 or so at the front and 10 or 15 at the back and some kind of go back and forth. Because they are students, it'll be tough for them to miss 3 weeks of class.
Right. Okay, I can't wait for you to call in. Okay, we have Marshall on the line. Solar question for Matt. Hi, Marshall.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Sure can.
Okay, good. I can hear you.
Good.
I'm wondering if – I'm really curious as to whether there are any of these teams, wherever they may be, or members of teams that are seriously looking at the costs and financial aspects, the actual costs of their particular scheme or others – and as related to what the costs are for current, if you will, configurations of solar energy and the use of solar energy?
That's a great question.
Yeah, it sure is, Marshall. One of the competitions is actually kind of a market viability analysis of each house. And they ask that each team kind of target a market and look at and basically kind of build the house to that kind of specification. Now you don't necessarily have to target kind of a middle class income. You don't have to go down that road. Some teams are. We've chosen to kind of move at a more kind of research and experimentation kind of approach, which actually drives the cost of the house up. So we've had to kind of kick up our kind of target market a little bit to a pretty high demographic so that we can do some of this research. But it is something that is kind of looked at. I know that University of Louisiana Lafayette has kind of taken this kind of cost-effective approach and really kind of scrutinizing every little nut and bolt that goes into their project.
That's great. And for widespread application, that's so important. Okay, we have another caller. Marshall, thank you so much for calling in. Dave, solar and wind energy question.
I'll make this quick.
Okay.
I've been dinking around with the solar as well as wind generated systems for, I don't know, 40, 45 years now. I'm somewhat of an inventor, if you want to call it that, tinkerer or whatever. And I've come up with some systems that work extremely well, do exactly what they're supposed to do. Yet when I try to find someone to back up my system with, some capital, and when I tell them what I'm doing, it's kind of like, oh, it's been done. We're already doing it, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, I don't find anyone doing what I do. I've got systems that are so simple and so easy and so, basic that they seem to ignore it because it doesn't have enough bells and whistles on it to make them happy, whatever. How do I go about finding people that are interested in financing solar/wind generation/combination of both? Without basically being ignored or told that it's just not worth it. I mean, this stuff is not cute. It's not fancy. It's not, it's just simple and it works. And I can't find anyone that's interested.
And you've built some prototypes, Dave? You have the prototypes and you're using them?
Oh, I've had a prototype. I have a piece of property I've lived on for quite a few years that's had the solar/wind generator on it for various different versions of it for about 35, 40 years.
Okay, well, one of the things I've read, and I'm going to answer, Matt, you can just, I'm interrupting you, but I do a lot of, I'm part of this Innovative Technology Development Center, and one of the things that surprised me, there's not a lot of venture capital money out there now for new inventions, but I will tell you what a lot of venture capitalists are looking for are things in the sustainability area, solar, algae, all of these biotech, biomass, it's all the future. So if you have a good business plan, this would be my recommendation, get a good business plan, put some numbers to it, and pitch it. And you can always send it to info@MrsGreenGoesMainstream. And believe me, there's a group that I'm a part of that would be happy to take a look at it. Matt, what's your final comment? Dave, thanks for calling in. Matt?
Yeah, I guess I would say, Dave, try. If at first you don't succeed, try again. Build something, show people, prove it, and
Right. Okay, we are almost running out of time. You still need money, Matt?
Yeah, we certainly do. We're fundraising actively. You can visit our website, uasolardecathlon.com. There's a donate button. You can check out all the students that are involved in the project and every
little
design.
Their pictures are up there.
Yep.
And always remember when you're listening, if you don't have that website, contact info@MrsGreenGoesMainstream. We'll be happy to set it up, okay? Good luck. We can't wait to hear from you on the road, and I hope you win.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning in. This is Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream. Next week, Rosemont Copper Mine. I'm already getting emails about it. Get your questions ready. Friend or foe to the environment, have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream on News Talk 790 KNST. All about learning that going green can be fun. Visit MrsGreenGoesMainstream.com and tune in next Saturday at noon for Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream on News Talk 790 KNST.